we are going to get into Thanksgiving a few weeks early. I hope that's cool with everyone. I've found personally that when I celebrate Thanksgiving just on that week of Thanksgiving or just on the day, that all of a sudden it's almost like I'm on a track racing towards Christmas. I don't have time to catch my breath and really be grateful. It's been my practice to incorporate gratitude and Thanksgiving beginning with the first Sunday in November, which we typically celebrate as All Saints Day, a day that we gave thanks for those who have died in the past year, where we were thankful for the lives of those people, which is a perfect start to developing a grateful heart during November. So for today, I want to invite you all to put on your Thanksgiving hats for a moment. And if we weren't in quarantine, I may have even had some turkey or pumpkin pie or some stuffing to really get us in the mood. But alas, maybe next year, check back then. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be from the book of Philippians to the church at Philippi. And we're going to actually read the majority of the passage right now, and then we're going to hit it again at the very end. So we're going to start with Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Hear these words from Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice. When was the last time you went to a party? A party where you were surrounded by your closest friends and felt this overwhelming feeling of happiness. When I read Paul write this to the church at Philippi to rejoice, that's immediately what I think of. I imagine him telling them, have a party, celebrate, enjoy your friendship, lift up your love for God, celebrate. But in reality, Paul is writing this letter from prison, possibly a prison cell that will be his last before his death. And this community at Philippi, this group of believers, they're actually part of a dying church. The church at Philippi is actually believed to be the very first church that was planted in Europe. And it isn't going so well so far. Historians say that at the time Paul wrote this letter to this community, their numbers aren't growing as they first were. And they're being persecuted at every single turn. Yet in our passage, Paul writes to them, rejoice. It's not quite that party scenario that I painted earlier. And who are we to really even talk about parties right now? They've been way less prevalent since COVID. Parties almost seem like a memory of something in the past, something once upon a time we got to do with one another. We're not necessarily a dying church or in prison awaiting our death. But right now, we do know what it feels like to be told to rejoice in a really tough time. Paul isn't saying, let's get together and throw this party because our lives are so great and we love to celebrate. Paul isn't writing, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, for someone to cross-stitch it on a pillow, or for us to put it in a cutesy art print in our homes. Paul doesn't mean for this to be a motto. He's writing this from jail to a community being actively persecuted. Rejoicing is a hard command, and it's just the first of a lot of really hard commands in this passage. Rejoicing isn't necessarily hard when we're at a party or when things seem to be going really well. But rejoicing in bad times is hard. Rejoicing in prison or when things aren't going your way or in the middle of a pandemic is hard. 2020 has not been the best year for a lot of people. In America, we've had some pretty huge things happen. The pandemic has taken almost 250,000 lives here. Race relations are at a super low point, and this election was especially divisive. When I saw this image of a 2020 Christmas wreath, when it was circulating on all of the social media, I couldn't help but nod my head in agreement. I don't even think I really laughed out loud. It's one of those moments where it's so real, it's kind of scary. So I hope we can all create these for our homes later today. While we definitely do not know how the Philippians felt when they received this upbeat letter from Paul, we do know what it's like to be in hard times, to feel like this wreath. Those things that I listed that are happening around our nation, they don't even begin to touch on the things happening in each of our lives personally, the drama and challenges that come with day-to-day life. So what is this rejoicing that Paul's talking about? What does rejoicing mean? What does it look like? Paul writes, "In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He reminds the community to go to God in prayer, to ask with thankful hearts. The key to rejoicing is to name those things that we're thankful for. Even in the ugliest of moments, we all have something in our lives to be thankful for, to find gratitude for. This past summer, a lot of you know, my husband and I had our first child, a little boy named Miles. And I would argue this is one of the absolute strangest times to have a baby. I was in quarantine for the last trimester of my pregnancy, so I didn't get to experience things pregnant women say, like people opening doors for them or helping them load their groceries into their car. Instead, I was in isolation at home, trying to work and trying to resist the temptation to go take a third nap of the day in my bedroom. We didn't get to have family with us when Miles was born. And even when he had emergency surgery 4 weeks after his birth, we again didn't get to have family at the hospital with us. When I go out in the world with my son, everyone has masks on. Parenting is hard enough, but worrying about the lack of facial expressions and limited social contact with anyone other than family just adds to an already hard task. And when I tell you all those things about Miles, his birth, and the anxiety around all of it, it sounds hard, it sounds tough, and it for sure was. It also sounds like I'm complaining a little bit. But every time this little baby looks at me, gratitude is the only thing that I feel. He is without a doubt the biggest blessing I've ever had in my life. And I can't help but be thankful that he is with us. If we're going to make it through these hard times, these hard moments, we have to name what we're thankful for. We have to give a name to the things in our lives that keep us going. We have to spend intentional time not listing out all of the bad and negative, but finding more space for the good, because the good is still there. It's still happening around us and through each of us. And rejoicing becomes a little easier. It becomes a little more second nature when God is at the center of our thanksgiving. Right after Paul tells this community to rejoice, he reminds them that the Lord is near. The Lord is near. In all of this chaos, God is still God. God has not abandoned any of us. God is as near to us as the breath in our lungs. Paul asked the people to do some hard things, to rejoice, to be gentle, to not worry. This man is in prison and is saying that the people should rejoice in God and cast all of their anxieties onto God too. We can only assume that Paul is sharing this way of living because he's found himself some solace in doing this and living this kind of life, a life of rejoicing and letting go of worry. When we know that God is near to us, when we believe that that's true, it makes rejoicing easier. It's easier not to worry. It's easier to be gentle. And not because we're doing it because God's watching us, like some kind of Santa around Christmas where you want to be really good so Santa sees. This isn't that kind of God. God isn't just watching to see if we mess up. When we say the Lord is near, we mean God is by our side going through whatever we're going through with us. Not judging, not casting all these ideas onto us, but is a presence that's with us every step of the way. God is with us when we have to do really, really hard things. One of my favorite things about this passage in particular in Philippians is that in the original Greek language, the word for rejoice that is used is plural. The rejoicing Paul's talking about isn't reserved just for one person to do by themselves. Instead, rejoicing is to be done as a community, as a group of people. We are not alone because God is near. And we're not alone because we are part of a community of believers, people who are just trying to love God a little bit better, just like we are. Yesterday was the beginning of Diwali, a festival celebrated by Hindus and a few other religions too. And it is celebrated by remembering the light that overcomes the darkness. And it's not celebrated by one person in their home alone. It's celebrated with a community. I love that as others of different religions are celebrating a sacred time, we too are gathering to talk about something similar, finding thanksgiving in the midst of hard times, finding hope in times of desperation, finding light in the darkness. By giving thanks, we're reminding ourselves that we are not alone in this world. We are not overcome by darkness. Thanksgiving is still a little over a week away, but we can all benefit by remembering Paul's message to the Philippians. These early Christians were beaten down. They needed to know that even in the moments where they felt alone, that Paul was in prison cheering them on, and that they believed in a God who was by their side through every turn. Jesus' entire ministry is about light conquering darkness. Let's start those lists of what we're thankful for right now. Let's not wait until November 26th. Let's rejoice together, not as one, but as many, as a community together. Maybe I was wrong earlier about what I said. Maybe these words of Paul, where Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always," again, I say rejoice, maybe that is a good thing to have cross-stitched on a pillow or on a cutesy art print inside your home. Maybe that's just the motto we need right now. If reading those words help remind us to find moments of rejoicing in hard times, then yeah, we need all the reminders. Cross-stitch all the pillows you can find. It may be just the motto we need as we near Thanksgiving. We're going to end this morning with the last few verses of our scripture reading. Paul continues to write in verses 8 and 9. "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Keep on. Rejoice. Be gentle. Don't worry. Give thanks. And the peace of God will be with us all as we come together as a community to rejoice. Amen.